Hallmark Entertainment presents an Alpine Median production in association with Larry Levinson Productions. Jane Doe, The Harder They Fall. A marina. A luxury fishing yacht sets out to sea. On board the yacht, which is emblazoned with Mojo Newport Beach, a man prepares to fish from the stern. Other men and a woman are also on board. It's dusk as the yacht glides out of the harbour. Night, the boat steals silently through the water. Security guard Jim Munro stands at a rail and takes out a small blue disc on which is written 9 months sober, below deck.
Vasquez, Stefano, O'Shaughnessy.
Good scotch.
Yeah, right. Douglas, you're all here, good. Well, sit down. I have something I want to show you.
A TV screen.
Morning Cereals became an international conglomerate with branches, or should I say tentacles, all over the globe, with every decision in that boardroom coming from one man, Melville Horning. Insiders say there was a veil of secrecy protected with an almost cartoonish fervor by Melville himself, a sign of a very paranoid and troubled mind. The mind of Melville Horning. Let's see if we can catch him. Here he is. Mr. Horning! Is it true that you dump expired and contaminated food in third world countries?
Excuse Who are you? What are you talking
Robbie
about?
Robbie Walters, a filmmaker.
Me,
and isn't it true that you take that huge off. Tax deductions of disaster charity?
Of course not. Who is this?
Well, I have evidence right here.
Sir, please.
Melville Horning.
Evidence. He has evidence. Which one of my loyal vice presidents talked to this crackpot?
It wasn't me, sir. I just got back from Southeast Asia last
week. Mr. Horning, I didn't do it.
I mean, none of us would talk to this creep, Mr. Horning.
I swear that whoever leaked this information is gonna pay for it dearly.
He signals to his security guard, Jim.
Let's go.
A young guy pauses on his way out.
Mr. Horning, listen to me. Why in the world would we ever...
Vasquez, stick around.
The lean, craggy-faced Horning gives the order to good-looking, dark-haired Daniel Vasquez. The yacht, ghostly in the black night, slides slowly through the water. Muted lights illuminate the stern. Jim lies restlessly in his cabin. He grimaces and grips his head. He pulls himself out of his lower bunk and checks the time on a digital alarm clock. It's 11:46 p.m. Gripping onto the top bunk, Jim stands upright. Queasy, he closes his eyes for a moment, then makes his way unsteadily to the door. His vision is blurred and wavering. Jim dons a jacket as he staggers out onto the deck and clutches hold of a rail. Jim looks up, then makes his way along the deck, which appears to quiver in front of him. He pauses and leans over the rail. Something shimmers in the dark water.
Man overboard! It's Mr. Horning!
Oh, what time is it?
What's going on?
What's the matter? What's wrong?
Boss, he fell overboard. I think he's drowning.
What? Overboard?
What's going on?
He says Horning's overboard.
I saw him.
There he is!
You idiot!
Don't look!
No, wait. Don't jump!
Vasquez is in the water.
Oh, Mr. Horning, I got you.
All right, you got him.
I'm
going around back. Here! Danny, swim him around!
Jim staggers along the deck.
That's it. Bring him to the back!
Here! All right, give me his belt. He's coming! Help me lift him up!
Drag him up on the deck.
One, two, three!
It's too late.
Mr. Horning, I got you.
To Jim.
Listen, this wouldn't have happened if you hadn't gotten hammered in the first place.
I'm telling you, I'm not drunk.
Get back to your cabin and sleep it off.
I got him.
Jim grimaces, grips a rail, then collapses.
Perfect.
6:48 a.m. Jim's asleep in his cabin.
Jim!
Jim wakes.
Oh, Captain. What's going on? We in port already?
Get up, Jim.
Jim rises and holds onto the top bunk.
Hey, how's old man Horning? I had the weirdest dream. I thought he fell overboard.
Yours was no dream. Horning did fall in the drink last night. I feel like a jerk because I slept right through it. But Horning, he's mad as hell. Now, I know everyone had a little too much to drink last night. But I thought you meant it this time.
I wasn't drunk, Barney, I swear.
I want to believe you. But the guy's safety was your responsibility. Horning wants you out of here. Now.
Barney, come on. Come on, I need this gig, man.
I'm sorry.
At least let me talk to Horning.
It's too late. He's already split with the Italian woman. Get your gear together. Let's go.
The captain escorts Jim off the boat.
You got everything?
Look who's here.
Vasquez and other men from the boat load a car.
There he is.
Leave Vauxhall Jim.
Looks like that's it for him.
He's a lot of help.
What's he looking at? Come on.
Go home, Jim.
The captain pats Jim on the back, then leaves him. The black Cadillac with Vasquez and his colleagues drives on. Jim's at home. An attractive woman of about 30 lets herself in and is surprised to see him.
You're home early.
Yeah.
Hi.
They embrace. Jim steps away.
How was church?
It's good.
Jim's got his back to her.
The boat's not due back until tonight.
Jim looks awkward.
Oh, no. Not again. You got fired, didn't you?
It wasn't my fault, Maggie. Give me a chance to explain.
Explain what? Honey, this was a very good job opportunity. What did you do?
I didn't do anything. The old man slipped and fell overboard.
Who slipped?
Melville Horning, the big boss. Somebody had to take the blame, so they fired me. They wouldn't even let me see him. I told him I wasn't drunk, but they fired me anyway.
Why didn't they believe you?
I was having some kind of dizzy spell.
Were you drinking again?
Maggie, I swear to you, I haven't had a drink in 9.5 months. You gotta believe me.
I can't. I'm sorry. I think you should leave.
Maggie folds her arms and turns away from him. Jim picks up his bag and goes. Night. A suburban house.
Kathy Davis, have you thought up a new brain teaser?
Feel like being teased?
By you, anytime.
All right, this one's a riddle.
Riddle me.
Okay. At night they come without being fetched, and by day they're lost without being stolen.
At night they come without being fetched.
And by day they're lost without being stolen.
Tinker, tailor, housewife, spy, and puzzle maker. Have I left anything out?
I prefer domestic goddess of the Central Security Agency. Mm.
Speaking of which, have you heard from Frank Darnell lately?
No, I haven't. I guess he doesn't need me.
Good. That makes more for me.
A teenage girl runs downstairs and grabs the TV remote.
What are you doing?
I just need to tape something on the Finance Channel.
And now,
what?
Live.
The Mr. Finance Mr. Channel?
It's my rare pleasure to be speaking live in our studio with notoriously reclusive breakfast cereal magnate Melville Horning.
We just don't like controversy.
Now, is that why you're suing filmmaker Robbie Waters to keep his documentary, Serial Killer, off the air?
Ours is a highly competitive field. And a company...
It's for economics class. I own Horning Foods in my fantasy stock portfolio. We're being graded on it.
It's a homework assignment. Well, the world makes sense again.
Dad, I just wanted to make sure they didn't announce anything important or go bankrupt before class tomorrow.
If it has anything to do with numbers, you're gonna mess it up.
Oh yeah? Well then how come my portfolio has increased by 23% already?
Easy. You added wrong.
All right, you two, go to bed.
What?
The boy rolls his eyes.
I think that's our cue.
The girl passes the remote to her dad, who turns the TV back on.
I say 10 grams of sugar per serving. What comes to mind?
Well, that guy's kind of creepy. Both of them.
Well, let's go find somebody less creepy.
A body lies on a beach. It's Melville Horning.
We're following a breaking story this Tuesday morning. The owner of this multi-million dollar beachfront home was found dead at water's edge just after dawn by joggers. The victim has been identified as the reclusive CEO of Horning International, Melville Horning. There's no sign of foul play, and the preliminary cause of death is listed as accidental drowning. In other news in the Southland this morning, our own...
Listening, Maggie is shocked. Later, she brings coffee to a man.
Here you go, Frank.
Thank you. You said on the phone that you needed my help.
What's going on?
That's about Jim. I asked him to leave.
Booze again?
Yeah. At least that's what I thought.
Until I turned on the news this morning and I heard about Melville Horning.
Horning, yeah. And we went over that in our daily briefing.
Jim was working for him. Well, you know how Jim has been struggling with his alcoholism.
Right.
Well, the last couple years since he got let go from the CSA, it's been the worst. I mean, he'd have a couple months of sobriety and then he'd start drinking again.
You know, look, Maggie, I never wanted him fired in the first place.
I know, Frank. And I never blamed you for that. Anyway, an old Navy buddy of his gets him the gig as private security for Melville Horning.
It's a big job.
The thing is, Jim told me Sunday morning that he saw Horning fall overboard and drown Saturday night. They said he was drunk, and they fired him.
And then Horning turns up dead, drowned, in fact. That's quite a coincidence. Maybe I can have Kathy help me out on this one. Those two used to be partners.
Kathy Davis?
Yeah.
She still works with you?
Yeah, well, I guess you could say I kind of dragged her back in. Tell you what, let me see what I can do. Okay.
Maggie smiles and nods. Kathy's at home writing words on a chart.
Uni. Surprise. Hi, Mom.
Hey, don't slam the door so hard.
Hey.
Hi. Hey, wait, Susan, come here. What's wrong? Are you all right?
She won't tell me what's wrong.
Is it boy trouble?
My fantasy stock portfolio. It crashed. Because the stupid head of Stupid Horning Foods died, and now the stupid stock is worthless.
Well, at least it's a fantasy portfolio.
I guess. Honey.
Susan walks off.
Hi.
Who are you?
It's for you. It's your boss, Frank Darnell, from the U.S. Puzzle Company.
Son Nick passes her the phone.
Hello?
Kathy, it's Frank.
Hey, Frank.
It's Jim Monroe. He needs a hand.
Oh. All right, I'll be right there.
You go out and save the world tonight, and I'll do the cooking, and tomorrow night we'll switch.
I think building houses is a terrific way of saving the world.
Kathy gets her coat.
Hey, does your riddle thing have anything to do with dogs? I mean, they come without being fetched. This sounds like a dog thing.
Not even close.
Yeah.
A restaurant by the marina.
Jim was like a big brother to me when I first joined the CSA.
I remember, right? He saved your life a couple times. Remember that time in Portugal?
Oh, and that time in D.C.
Yes, you are, Mom.
Yeah.
At a table.
Kathy Davis.
Look at you.
Me, look at you. Still the prettiest spy in North America.
See why I like him so much?
Jim, what's up?
Frank, how you doing? Have a seat.
They sit down.
I haven't seen you since I left the CSA, or tried to leave, and now you've left, too.
Yeah, right. Both know I got thrown out on my drunken butt.
Hey, I'm a spy, not a gossip.
Jim, look, I filled Kathy in on the basics. You got the job in Horning's yacht, and what you said that you saw Saturday night. Is there anything else that you remember? Anything at all?
The more I think of it, the more I'm sure I saw Horning drown. But it's like, I don't know, it's like somebody else was watching it, you know, through my eyes.
Frank said you felt woozy, messed up.
I've never had a migraine before, but it sure felt like one. I'm 9 months sober, Kathy, if that's what you're wondering.
That's great, Jim.
Think maybe you got seasick? Is that a possibility?
If I got seasick, you really think I'd get a job on a boat, Frank? I mean, really.
Look, Jim, we're just trying to help.
Are you?
Yes, we are.
Look, I told you what I saw. I was a good agent, Frank. Something happened on that boat, and I lost my job and my wife because of it. If you don't believe me, I'm going to prove it myself.
He stands up and walks away. Kathy and Frank walk away from the marina.
Why did you park so far away?
I wanted to save $5, okay?
So what do you think?
About his story?
No, about his drinking.
Well, my intuition says he's telling the truth. So does my educated nose.
I guess his story about Horning drowning on Saturday night... It is possible.
Could be possible, but is it plausible?
No, not so far. Coroner says, because of the rigor and decomp of the body, Horning died on Monday at midnight.
Between 10 p.m. on Monday and 2 a.m. Tuesday doesn't exactly include Saturday night. Any sign of foul play?
Well, that's what I want you to decide.
Frank, if the coroner didn't find any evidence of wrongdoing, it's going to be tough, but... All right, I'll look into it. Jim's a great guy. I just wish I hadn't seen Melville Horning on live television 2 days after Jim said he saw him dead.
In her bedroom, checking her portfolio notes against the stock report in the financial press, Nick waits outside by the car.
Susan! What is she doing?
He hops into his dad's pickup. Dad Jack reads the paper. A news article in Susan's portfolio reads, "Stock sell-off at Horning Foods."
I'm coming.
Susan studies the financial news against her portfolio and looks worried. Kathy drives past a memorial service centre. There's a portrait of Horning on the wall outside. Inside.
Well, I say he's been properly memorialised. Can we go now, Dad?
Stella, why wasn't he buried? Well, he was too paranoid. Melville stipulated in his will he wanted a full autopsy.
What?
I need another drink.
Oh, well, hey, honey boy. Well, if it isn't the interim CEO. Yeah, see, you got what you wanted. Big office, big title.
If you think I wanted the chairmanship like this, you're an even worse human being than I took you for. Mm-hmm.
The man is dead, for God's sakes. Can we show a little respect here, Daniel?
A little bit.
Come on, let's get a drink.
Kathy joins Jim.
Oh, not much of a turnout, considering what a powerful man he was. I guess the influence dies with the man. I might find you lurking around here at Horning's memorial service.
Oh, well, I'm a spy. Lurking's what I do. Did. I can't just let it go.
Who's the blonde?
That's Stella Andre, Horning's chief financial officer. She was appointed temporary CEO, to everyone's surprise.
Why surprise?
Because they thought it was going to be the golden boy, Douglas Maynard, the all-American success story. Raised in an orphanage, won a scholarship to Princeton. He was the old man's favorite, or so everyone thought. It's Tom Shaughnessy. He handles the South Pacific region. Never met a cold Foster's he didn't like. Also fond of the ladies.
Like that one?
Frances DiStefano. She's Italian. Don't let the glamour girl looks fool you. She's one tough cookie.
And that leaves...
Daniel Vasquez, or El Rey, as the crew called him. Director of European operations. He comes from Florida. Made his bones at Disney.
So you think all four of them are going to confess to some kind of cover-up in sign language, Jim?
I know what I saw on that boat, Kathy, but apparently none of you trust me enough to investigate.
What am I, chop liver? I'm here. I'm going to help you.
I don't need your charity. I'll do it myself.
Well, any reasonable person, any sober person, would accept any help they could get.
Jim shakes his head and smiles.
You're too smart for me, you know that. Okay, what do you want me to do?
Hardest thing of all, nothing. If Horning did die on Saturday and those four are covering it up, you're the last person we want talking to them. They know you.
What are you gonna do?
I'm gonna find out why. If Horning died on Saturday night, I saw him on live TV on Monday.
Kathy drives a silver Chrysler up to the studio of Financial News Channel in Parks. She gets out, displaying shapely, slender legs in high heels and a short black business suit. She dons glasses and hurries inside. A news anchorman addresses a runner who's holding out a bottle of water.
Naomi, Naomi, Naomi. How many times do I have to reiterate? The sport top bottle was designed by Philistines to serve Neanderthals. Pellegrino, please.
Yes, Mr. Leonard. Sorry, Mr. Leonard.
In real glass?
Naomi goes. Kathy looks amused.
And you must be the reporter from the Wall Street Journal. You are very punctual, so rare these days.
Wouldn't be late for an interview with Len Leonard. I'm just so honored to be here.
Anything for the WSJ, as I like to call your esteemed publication.
So, this is where it all happens?
This is it. Please. This is where we make the magic.
Wow.
Kathy sits at a table with Len. She's on camera.
This is great.
Now, fire away. What is it you want to know?
Well, I want to know how you did it.
How did I do what?
Got the CEO of Horning Foods to agree to a live, on-the-air interview. Because, as they say...
She looks round.
Melville Horning only talks to one person. Melville Horning.
Well, there's nothing like being dubbed the smartest man on the air to get people to sit up and take notice.
I've been trying to get him in front of that cassette recorder for years.
Well, you won't get him now. Bad luck. I'm sorry, that was cold. They don't call us hard-bitten journalists for nothing.
Well,
She studies the chair.
Oh, are you uncomfortable?
No, I was just trying to move a little closer.
Bolted to the floor, I'm afraid. It's impossible to get these technicians to adjust their field of focus.
know, that puts me in mind of the most hilarious escapade when I was with public television in D.C. Bill Buckley and I are sitting with Julia Child and Fred Rogers. Dick Cavett comes in.
Sorry. I'm sorry, I have to...
I didn't hear a ring.
It's very silent. West Coast Bureau, Jane? I'm in the middle of the most fascinating interview.
Len smiles.
All right, fine, fine.
She hangs up.
I'm sorry, I have to go. They never interrupt me during one of those mind-numbing bank merger pieces, but, could I take a rain check?
I insist.
Thank you. Oh, I just have one more thing. Could I take a picture of you on your set?
Absolutely.
All right. That's perfect. Okay. Smile.
She holds up her BlackBerry.
Perfect. Thank you.
Does this tie make me look French?
Kathy spots Naomi carrying a box.
Oh, wait. Let me help you with that.
Oh, thank you. I'm pathetic, aren't I?
That makes two of us. Your boss is just as bad as mine. Leaves me out of the loop, takes credit for all of my ideas, makes no allowance for my husband and my kids. And when it comes to him and his problems, stand back.
Mm-hmm. How do we put up with it?
Life would be so dull without him.
You're probably right. Maybe.
Where are we going?
This way.
What's he doing
there? Oh, he's
in there?
A jerk.
Back home, Kathy's watching Len's interview with Horning.
When I say 10 grams of sugar per serving, what comes to mind?
Well, the corn rings have always been my favorite.
Cheer.
She stares at the frozen screen.
Ugh, this garage is a mess. You two, I'm going to the bank, so don't kill each other, all right?
I'm going to Quentin's.
That's great, honey.
Bye, Mom.
Bye, Mom. Bye, hon.
Hey, Ned. Can I talk to you?
What's going on? You're acting even weirder than usual.
Mom always said that when push came to shove, it's family that'll come through for you. That in the end, you and I will always be able to depend on each other, right?
Depends on what you want to depend on me for.
You have to promise not to tell Mom and Dad. I'm in trouble. You know that fantasy stock portfolio I put together for economics class?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not completely fantasy. I used real money.
How'd you get money to invest in the stock market?
I borrowed it from my savings account.
That's for college. How'd you even get it?
I used Mom's password from her computer.
Mom is gonna kill you.
I did all the research and I picked really good stocks and I was doing really well until stupid Horning died. Nick, if Mom and Dad find out I lost my savings, Dad's gonna have a heart attack.
Then it's obvious, isn't it? They can't find out.
Susan smiles and puts an arm around him.
Thanks. So what are we gonna do?
I got some ideas.
Kathy's back in the TV studio. She spots the runner Naomi, drops some tapes, and goes to help her pick them up.
Here. Let me help you.
Oh, thanks. Oh, it's you. Hi. Look, what I said about Mr. Leonard, you're not going to print any of that, are you?
And get you in trouble with your boss? I'm not that kind of reporter.
Good, because I love my job. Well, I don't really love it. It's pretty lousy, actually.
Look, I just wanted to ask you one question.
As long as it's not about Mr. Leonard.
No. It's about Melville Horning. Now, you met him. What is he really like?
Horning? You know, he's not as bad as everyone says, I guess.
He was never here, was he? Look, I told you before, I'm not that kind of reporter. You don't have to say anything. Just move your head. Was Melville Horning even here on Monday?
Naomi shakes her head.
Yeah, they said he was off in some secret studio somewhere because of how paranoid and weird he is. But I don't even think it was a live feed. I think it was some old can piece they edited in. I proofread the questions. They were constructed to go with the answers, not the other way around.
Why would someone with Len Leonard's reputation do something like that?
The buzz is that the big brass brought pressure to bear, but I can't figure out why.
I think I do. Advertising revenue.
Horning Cereal doesn't advertise on the Finance Channel.
True, but there's a number one advertiser on Kid TV. And according to the latest FCC filing, Kid TV owns the Finance Channel.
Oh.
At the CSA, Central Security Agency.
Hey, Frank.
So what do you got for me?
Her BlackBerry.
Something pretty good. Check this out. Great deal. one of these right here.
A photo.
Check this out. Now, this is the guest chair on the set of Money Talks, where Horning was supposedly interviewed live on the air by Len Leonard on Monday. The chairs are screwed to the floor, see?
Right.
Okay. And this is Horning as he actually appeared on camera.
So it's a different chair. Maybe they redecorated.
Nope. I checked. Horning was never in the studio at all. I don't know where he was on Monday. I'm still working on that, but I know that he wasn't on the set of Money Talks. Now take a look at this stock report.
Serial company senior executive sell-off holdings. Well, anyone would sell their stock after the boss takes a long walk on a short pier.
Look.
This article's dated Monday. Horning's vice presidents all sold their stock before Horning turned up dead.
Yes, thereby realizing a huge profit instead of a huge loss. Lucky coincidence for them, huh?
Right. Keep digging.
You just want to clear Jim Monroe's reputation.
No, I told you. I'm just curious. I think Jim's a good man. I'd like to see him get it together, that's all.
Softy.
Where are you going?
I'm going fishing.
Kathy, who's petite and slender with auburn hair, parks her car by the harbor and jumps out. Clutching a clipboard, she hurries down a gangplank to the harbour wall where the Mojo is moored. The craggy, grey-bearded captain's on deck.
Captain Barnes?
That's me.
Permission to come aboard?
Yeah.
Do you always swab your own decks?
I find it therapeutic. And you are?
Oh, Jane Doe, Harbour Patrol. Just transferred in from Redondo. Do you ever use some baking soda on that thing?
And tomato juice, lemons, industrial-strength odor eaters. Catch cooler smell like fish.
Well, here's the thing, Captain Barnes. We received a report that a Melville Horning died on your last voyage. It seems like the sort of thing a captain would report, you know?
He would, if it happened. Jim Monroe called you, didn't he? Look, Jim's a good guy, but he's been known to see pink elephants, if you catch my drift.
So, what do you think really happened?
Nothing to report. I was below deck sleeping, didn't hear a thing. The guest reported that Horning slipped and fell, and one of the guests pulled him to safety. End of story.
So you don't think this Horning fellow drowned?
Not on Saturday night, he didn't. Horning gave the order to return to port on Sunday morning. He loaded his fish into his car and signed the log.
Oh, could I see that?
Sure, this way.
He leads her to the bridge.
Here we are. Thank you.
She checks a logbook.
What do we have here? Look at all these Melville Horning entries. Last one looks a little different here.
Yeah, you're right.
Can I see your crew quarters, please?
This way.
Downstairs.
The captain follows Kathy down a short, narrow staircase to the crew quarters. Kathy opens the door to Jim's old cabin and steps in. She looks at a cellophane-wrapped gift basket of cookies. A couple of cookies have been partially eaten. Kathy glances about.
If you're looking for a bottle, I already checked. There wasn't one.
No little bottles of wine?
Not as far as I know.
Think back to Sunday morning. Did Mr. Horning say anything to you about the incident when you returned to port?
No. He was gone before I secured the boat to the dock. I wasn't feeling so good that morning either.
Did you actually see or hear or speak to Mr. Horning any time after you turned in on Saturday night?
The captain looks awkward.
Now that I think about it, no.
At the CSA.
Here's your pass.
Kathy clips a security pass to Jim's jacket as they leave a lift.
Kind of weird to be back, huh?
Yeah.
Frank approaches them with a warm smile and holds out his hand.
Hi, Jim. Welcome back. Jane Doe here is right, which she usually is. Those four vice presidents just pulled off a major stock swindle.
Jane Doe? Is that the code name Darnell gave you?
He thinks it's funny.
I heard that.
Frank's office.
So, Frank, does that mean if I help you break the case, I get reinstated?
I thought you wanted me to help you prove you weren't seeing things.
You don't want to work here anyway.
I tell you what, if you pan out as an outside contractor on this operation, I'll put in a good word for you. How's that?
Perfect. Thanks.
Here it is.
Okay, these are Horning Serial senior executives. When Horning died on Saturday night, the only one not on the boat was Stella Andre, who just became temporary CEO.
The problem is we don't have any proof that Horning died on Saturday night.
Yeah, we need to know if you remember anything at all that's new.
Well, everything was fine up through dinner. They cooked one of the tuna the old man caught, so he was in a good mood for him.
Then he screened that flamethrower of a documentary. He called him back into the salon one at a time to rip him each a new one. He let me go for the night first. I guess he didn't want an audience. Shaughnessy and DeStefano were off behind the bleachers as usual.
What happened before you heard the splash?
Well, I woke up a little before midnight. My head was splitting.
So then you went up on deck and you saw Horning in the water and then you saw the four vice presidents fish him out. Now, did you feel his skin at all, the temperature or his pulse, anything?
Well, like I said, they thought I was drunk. They wouldn't let me get close enough.
Well, Jim, did you eat or drink anything that might have affected you?
Well, you think someone spiked a punch or something?
I don't know. Moldy rye grain has been known to cause hallucinations. I mean, that's what some people think caused the Salem witch hunts.
Well, Maggie made me a bag lunch, and someone from Horning's office sent the crew cookies.
Jim, did you see Horning dead?
And look, we're wasting time, Frank. I say we turn Horning's cereal upside down and shake it until the prize falls out.
Well, you want to search the offices?
Yeah, that's right.
Based on what? You got four vice presidents who are close enough to Horning to know if he was dead or alive. They say alive.
Oh, they say alive.
That's it.
But what I say means nothing. Is that it?
That's all we're saying, Jim.
Fine. Thanks for your time.
He storms out. Kathy follows him.
Hey, Jim, come on. Have a little faith. We're not going to let you down.
Sorry, Kathy. It's just hard to ask for help sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I know. Frank and I will go down and interview those four vice presidents tomorrow, I promise you.
Well, thanks, I appreciate it. Could you...
Oh, yeah.
She swipes her ID card over the lift button and the lift opens. Jim steps in.
You and I are on this case together, no matter what Frank says, okay?
Okay. I'll see you later.
He smiles and nods. That night at the Davis home, Jack's working.
Hey,
Nick, I've got a riddle for you. At night, they come without being fetched. By day, they are lost without being stolen.
Mom doesn't like it when I give you the answers.
It was worth a try.
Susan and I were wondering if we could have permission to clean out the garage.
For a second there, I thought you said you wanted to clean out the garage.
Uh-huh.
With your sister?
Yes.
On purpose?
Yes and yes.
What's the catch?
No catch.
Kathy arrives home.
Can we start now?
Sure.
Thanks.
Push bros behind the lawnmower. Have fun.
Have fun doing what?
You're not gonna believe this. They want to clean out the garage together.
A black car pulls up at a curb, and Kathy and Frank get out.
Just start rolling.
It's already 9 o'clock. We're gonna be late for the press conference.
Well, someone had to pick up their dry cleaning.
I'm sorry. You know, I have a life, Frank.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming. I appreciate your patience. Melville Horning's death is a sad loss for this company and for me personally. Good morning. I'm Stella Andre. I'm the temporary chief executive officer of Horning Foods and Horning International. The last thing I want to do is compound tragedy with rumor and innuendo, so I've invited the county coroner to share his findings.
Ms. You succeed Horning as chief executive officer, Miss Andre.
That'll be up to the board of directors.
Just a follow-up, please.
If there
one more question.
Any further questions, our media relations department will do their best to help.
Thank you, please.
Now I'd like to introduce you to the county coroner.
A boardroom at Horning Foods.
Let's not make this such a big problem, because it isn't.
Speak for yourself.
I agree with you.
What?
May I help you?
Oh, I'm fine, but are you Daniel Vasquez?
Yeah, do I know you?
Why are you barging in on us? Oh, I'm sorry, it's so rude. I forgot to introduce myself. I'm Agent Doe from the CSA, and this is National Security Business. Miss DeStefano.
You know my name?
Yes, yes, and your social security number, and your grade point average, and if I was really pressed, I could probably come up with your measurements. And Doug here, did you know that he was on the dean's list for 4 years running?
Very impressive, but what has any of this got to do with the CSA? Look, we're just sales and marketing people.
Ah, well, you see, your company sells and markets tainted food to the third world, and that affects national security negatively.
Listen, if this so-called dumping even existed outside the imagination of that filmmaker, it was done without our cooperation. We know nothing about it.
Well, how about stock fraud?
How dare you walk in here and throw words like stock fraud around?
Well, here's the deal, Daniel. You see, your boss died on Monday, guaranteeing that your company's stock prices would fall on Tuesday. You know, how did it happen that all four of you sold all of your stocks on Monday morning?
Quite simple. We were all fired over the weekend.
What?
Yeah, Horning was convinced that one of us sold him out, but naturally had no proof.
Because none of us did.
Yeah, so the old coot chucked us all out. We all knew about it then, but it just became public knowledge this morning.
Yeah, if you knew about that documentary and you just got fired, what would you do with your stock?
Kathy shakes her head.
I'd sell it.
Good day, Agent O.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, right.
Take care.
Have a great day.
Stella Andre.
Well, he fired them. All of them. It was the last thing he told me before he... It was the last thing he told me.
Huh. When did he fire the vice president?
When he was on his yacht. It was a game of his. Melville would invite people on a fishing trip, and the people would end up the fish. He wasn't a nice man, you know.
Well, he never fired you.
I'm worth twice what he paid me, and he knew it.
Well, you're the big boss now. Give yourself a raise.
Oh, I will, and I'll work three times as hard. Anyway, there's not a paycheck big enough to cover my recent stock losses. I invest heavily in Horning stock.
Don't you find it suspicious that four vice presidents dumped their stock right before Horning dies?
No. I'd sell out, too, if I was deemed guilty until proven innocent and summarily fired. Please, Frank, sit.
Thanks.
They're in her office.
You happen to know anything about the charges on the product dumping?
No. And if I did, I'd take the fifth and insist you speak to my attorney about it.
So I assume you didn't cooperate with the filmmaker at all?
I like to take risks, but not with my career. What about you, Frank? You like to take risks?
You have any idea who the source might be?
No. But if you want a list of people who didn't like Melville, get yourself a phone book.
About his name. I mean, you must have left a card here with you somewhere, right?
Yes, he approached me. Robbie something. Anyway, I took his card, I tossed it in the trash. I told him...
You told him that you don't bite the hand that feeds.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm so glad I caught you. Your senior staff just told me that they were fired before Horning died. Is that true?
I'm sorry, Miss Andre, this is my associate, Jane Doe.
It's nice to meet you. Yes, the fishing weekends were notorious for stunts like that. Anyway, I need to get downstairs to quality control. Someone found a hair in the Fruity Pops. Anyway, nice to meet you and see you around, Frank.
Sure.
Kathy spots a gift basket of cookies.
I think she likes me.
That's sweet, Frank. Inappropriate, but sweet.
You know, this shoots a big hole in your scenario.
Yep. All four vice presidents had a good reason to sell off their stock.
We don't have a case. I think Jim was wrong.
Kathy shakes her head.
Jim wasn't wrong.
Nick holds a toy action figure.
Aww, I like this guy.
He chucks it in a box marked eBay.
Oh, wait, hey.
They're in the garage.
Don't let Dad see it.
Look at you.
Hi, Daddy.
I didn't even know this house had a two-car garage. You better not tell the banker, they'll increase our mortgage.
No, they can't do that. We have a variable rate loan based on the LIBOR index.
Wow, you're really taking this economics class seriously.
Serious as a heart attack.
I didn't catch that?
Nothing. Never mind. Do you care what goes in the trash and what goes in the Goodwill?
No, whatever you guys want. Just don't toss any of Mom's puzzles. You may need them. Oh, and don't toss any beer. I might need that.
He heads off.
Oh, my God.
At the coroner's office, Kathy steps into a morgue. Several bodies lie on trolleys. She approaches a man in a white coat.
Dr. Edelstein, they told me you were down here. I'm Jane Doe.
Oh, we get a lot of your relatives.
Look, it's about your autopsy on Melville Horning. I was wondering if you checked the potassium levels on the vitreous fluid to pinpoint the time of death?
Are you the records clerk?
No.
Oh.
No, actually, I work for the CSA, and we're investigating Melville Horning's death.
He drowned, didn't he? I'm sure we released our findings. I really need a records clerk.
You see, I did read your report, and I know that a dead body cools at a rate of 1.5 degrees per hour. And also, freezing temperatures can make it very difficult to have an accurate time of death. Cold also delays rigor mortis and decomposition.
Are you trying to tell me how to perform an autopsy, young lady?
No, doctor. I can see that you're overworked and understaffed, but I need you to look into this case one more time.
Are you sure you don't want to be a records clerk? There's perks.
Really?
No. No perks.
Thank you, doctor.
She leaves.
Bye.
Yeah.
Tom Shaughnessy drives Francis DeStefano into a huge empty car park and pulls up alongside Vasquez and Doug Maynard, parked in another car.
Vasquez, what's with all this clandestine stuff? We've already discussed this.
What do we do about the CSA agent?
It's being handled, Vasquez. Nothing's gonna jump up and bite us if we just keep our mouths shut.
Keep our mouths shut? Yeah, and let the CSA ruin my life? I don't think so.
Yes, Daniel, come on. We really shouldn't be meeting like this.
Just chill, Danny boy.
Shaughnessy drives on. The marina. Jim walks towards a moored boat that's got a for sale sign pinned to it. He climbs on board and starts when he sees Kathy below deck.
Jeez Louise! You about gave me an aneurysm.
You know, you're easy to find, Jim. What an interesting place you have.
Can't beat the rent.
Hey, Jim. What's this all about?
A bottle of wine. He grabs it from her.
You search your kids' drawers, too?
It was right here.
Well, it's sealed, if you didn't notice. What business is it of yours, anyway?
Plenty of my business. I'm your friend.
Friends don't go snooping on friends.
I have asked for favors. I have put out markers. I have used all of my non-existent free time to prove that you're not seeing things, and you're going to throw it all away for that?
If I told you I wasn't drinking, if I looked you straight in the eye, and I swore my hand to God that this bottle is not mine, would you trust me?
Yes.
Jim picks up a card and holds it out.
Read it.
Kathy opens the greeting card and reads.
Kathy, I hope this is still your favorite Merlot. Thanks for believing in me. Jim.
Kathy smiles and rolls her eyes.
Sorry.
Jim sets the wine down.
By the way, what are you doing here?
Working on a case, remember? We need to do some serious searching, none of this crazy stuff.
No way. Darnell wants me off this case. If I help you break into Horning's office, he'll kill me.
What Frank doesn't know won't hurt him, okay? I've already been to Horning's office.
What's at his beach house? What do you say?
Frank's not gonna like it.
Oh, come on.
I don't know.
The wine.
Can I take this?
She's not yours. I don't drink.
Thanks.
All right.
Kathy drives Jim.
You know, Horning's appearance on live television on Monday was faked. Absolutely. And not only that, no one, except for the four vice presidents, actually saw him alive on Sunday. So here's how I see it. Horning did die, just like you think, on Saturday night. But the VPs realized they'd take a huge financial hit with their stocks. So somehow they covered up the time of death.
I hear a but.
The coroner absolutely places the time of death late Monday night. And not only that, the four VPs, they swear that they were fired on the yacht.
Yeah, it was going around.
So you see, their stock sale, which is our only evidence, could be totally innocent. But to me, I smell murder. Frank doesn't think we have a case, of course.
Well, what do you think?
Frank's wrong. We gotta keep searching. Even though we don't have a warrant.
Never stopped us before.
Frank, broad and ruggedly handsome, gets out of his car in an industrial yard, climbs some steps, and wanders into a large warehouse stacked with boxes and crates. A handful of people carry on with their work, ignoring Frank as he walks through the building and makes his way towards a large, hunched, balding man in a Hawaiian shirt who sits behind a couple of laptops.
You Robbie Waters?
You're not the speedy messenger service. Cool. Hey, it's about Horning, isn't it?
Yeah. We're looking into the circumstances of his death. I could sure use your input.
What's my motivation?
I don't know, you tell me.
Well, with Citizen Kane gone bye-bye, his injunction goes bye-bye. My film, Serial Killer, that opens to great fanfare. My reputation is made. See what I mean? No one has more to gain from his death than me, except his kids, if he had kids, which he doesn't. So why should I help you?
Do you know what a bunch of feds with a search warrant would do to your filing system here?
Robbie studies him.
Turn to your left. No, not your other left. Wow, that's what I call a profile. Could I follow you around with a camera someday? Kind of a day in a central security agency kind of a thing?
No.
Okay. Well, what do you need?
Horning was convinced that you got your inside information from one of his top executives. What about that? Was he right?
I got everything from anonymous emails, photos, spreadsheets, films, everything. It was fantastic. It was like manna from heaven.
He hands Frank a file.
You have no idea who the sender was, right?
No. I think he's French. He calls himself Monsieur Lavelle.
Frank looks at the printed letter. Kathy and Jim drive up to a large white beachside house and get out. Kathy in jeans and a casual top and cardigan, and Jim, who's also casually dressed, step round to the front of the car to take stock of their surroundings.
It's kind of like old times, you know?
Feels good. Why don't you disarm the security system over there?
Okay, you get the neighbor.
The neighbor, draped with fairy lights, is outside his clapboard house.
There aren't any dogs, but I still wouldn't go in.
I'm with the Central Security Agency. We're investigating Mr. Horning's death.
Horning hated having anyone in his house. He did his own cleaning just so the maid wouldn't have to come in. Then his gardener would come over here to use my bathroom.
Ah, well, thank you for that. When was the last time you saw Mr. Horning?
Alive, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
That would be Sunday, I think it was. When he got back from his fishing trip.
Did he show you his catch?
Him? Never, no. He just drove that gas-guzzling sport ute straight into his garage and shut the door.
Can you be really sure that it was him?
Who else would go into Melville Horning's bedroom and watch Melville Horning's TV? Of course it was him. CSA, you say? Must be casual Thursday.
Well, I'll get out of your way. Thank you.
She joins Jim, who's tinkering with the security system.
This place is armed to the gills.
I just disarmed the system. All that CSA training wasn't totally wasted.
This Horning guy was pretty crazy. We better be careful.
Shall we?
A gate slides open and they step through. They climb some steps to glass double doors. Kathy opens one and they enter the house. Inside is orderly. Books and ornaments are arranged neatly on a huge open set of shelves. Kathy and Jim look round as they tentatively step through the house. They come to a kitchen. The marble surfaces are clean, but some dirty dishes sit in a sink. Jim picks up a dirty glass and plate and holds them up for Kathy to see. He sets them down and Kathy gestures for them to go upstairs. Jim nods and mouths, "Yeah." They both creep up the contemporary staircase. The walls everywhere are painted white. Kathy opens a door and peeks in, then closes it. They step into a bedroom.
Minimalism. I could do minimalism if I didn't have kids.
She sits down and picks up a neatly folded dark blue sweater while Jim examines the unmade bed. Kathy picks up a TV remote and switches the TV on.
Son plátanos ricos! Son plátanos con sabor! Son plátanos deliciosos!
Let's check the garage.
Outside, a squad car pulls up. The neighbor runs over to it as the cops get out.
Hi.
The garage is even nice.
We could use more wood, actually.
It's your 846. We got a possible breaking and entering.
As the police walk around the house, Kathy opens a car's hatchback and notes that the back seats are folded down.
Nothing here.
She closes it. Jim opens a cupboard to find neatly stacked crates. Kathy opens a large freezer. It's virtually empty.
Here either.
Kathy picks up a packet of frozen peas and sniffs it.
Open up! LAPD!
Two cops have guns trained on the garage.
Oh, man.
Jim sighs and looks at Kathy.
Just like old times.
Yeah.
She presses a button.
Come up with your hands up. Let me see your hands.
All right, here we are.
I got the alarm. You were supposed to disarm the neighbor.
Save it for your lawyer.
Look, officer, Mr. Monroe and I are on your side. We work for the Central Security Agency.
Yeah.
Yes, well, we're freelance, which is why we don't have any official identification. We just need to make a phone call.
Yeah, just get in the car.
Come on, we're CSA.
Yeah, you're CSA, and I'm J. Edgar Hoover.
Officer, really? Honestly, I am Agent Jane Doe.
Have a seat, Jane.
You didn't bring your badge, right?
Well, I forgot it.
Did you have to tell him?
Yes.
All right, do the dog bit.
Good idea.
Frank.
Breaking and entering is not a good thing.
There was this dog.
Yeah, you know, all that whimpering, whining, nobody to feed it or give it water.
Couldn't let the poor thing suffer.
There wasn't a dog.
I mean, there was a sign.
Jim, a sign is not a dog.
It said, beware of dog.
There was no dog, and you know it.
Oh, sure, we know it now.
Yeah.
Look, you two are not supposed to be investigating this thing anymore.
Neither are you.
That's beside the point.
All right, what did you get from that filmmaker, Robbie Waters?
Yeah, I got a bunch of nothing, but...
He takes a note out.
He gets all of his info and emails from a Mansour Leville.
Kathy traces the name out with her finger on the bonnet of a dirty car.
Sieur Laville, like that?
Yeah, that's it.
That's an anagram for Melville. As in Melville Horning.
She walks away.
Wait a minute. What did you get?
We didn't get anything, really. Just maybe another piece of the puzzle. I'm sorry, Jim. Hey, Frank, can you give him a ride?
Frank and Jim look at each other.
Don't look at me, Frank. You trained her.
Kathy drives away.
All right, get in.
Captain Barnes sits on the stern of the Mojo, nursing a beer and stroking the badge on his hat.
Permission to come aboard, sir.
Come aboard, Miss Harbor Patrol. We can dispense with the formalities. I'm no longer captain of this here craft.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did the new CEO let you go?
The new CEO let go of the whole boat. If there's anything sadder than a man without a ship, I don't know what it is. Never mind that. What can I do for you?
I just wanted to ask you about this, catch cooler.
Fits under the deck seating and is beautifully insulated. Your Marlin will look as perfect the day you mount him as the day you reeled him in.
So how long would it keep a fish fresh?
Put some ice, rock salt in there. It'll keep 200 pounds of fish fresh 6-7 days or more.
200 pounds of something.
Kathy strides up to Frank's desk in the CSA. Jim's with him.
There are no fish.
No fish? Where?
In Horning's giant freezer. It didn't smell like fish, and it takes ages to get that smell out. And that's when I figured out how the four of them did it.
What are you talking about?
This whole conspiracy thing. Okay, let me start at the beginning. Now, it all started just like you said. It was a typical corporate retreat, but someone had told Horning that one of the four vice presidents had leaked damaging secrets to that filmmaker, Robbie Waters, right? So after he screened the documentary, he made each one of them come into the salon and he threatened them, hoping that someone would sell someone else out. But they didn't, so he fired them all. Now, you didn't know that because Horning had dismissed you, so you did your rounds, saw Shaughnessy and DeStefano behind the bleachers, and ate your dinner that your wife gave you, and settled in for the night. Then you woke up with that mysterious migraine headache. You heard something, you went up on deck, saw Horning in the water, called for help.
Man overboard!
And even though you thought Horning was dead, when the four vice presidents pulled him up on deck, they said he was alive. And here's the thing. You were right. Horning did fall overboard and drown. He was maybe even murdered, because every one of those vice presidents wanted him dead, but not yet.
Is he dead?
Oh, he's dead, all right.
Oh, my God, he's dead? Well, what the hell are we gonna do now?
Don't wimp out on us, Doug.
Wimp out, he's dead!
Everybody just calm down, all right? We have to work together, and I mean now. All right, I have an idea.
Now, their plan was elegantly simple. They put Horning's body on ice, literally, in the boat's catch cooler. And then the next morning, they cut the fishing trip short and fired the only outside witness to Horning's death. You. They kept Horning's body at a comfortable minus 15 degrees centigrade and set about making it look like Horning was alive and well at his beach house. I know that Horning didn't let his gardener in the house, and he also didn't have a maid because he was so paranoid. But when I turned on the television set, it was on a Spanish language station. I think it was DeStefano.
Well, we have a suspect named Vasquez. I think it was him.
Mm-mm. DeStefano.
I got $5 on Vasquez. I think it was Vasquez.
You never learn, do you? Well, anyway, on Monday night, they put Horning in his swimming trunks and tossed him into the ocean to be discovered on Tuesday morning, a seemingly fresh drowning victim.
After they sold their stuff.
Exactly.
All right, one problem. The coroner still says that the time of death was Monday night.
Then the coroner's wrong.
Jim nods at her. Frank's with Kathy at the coroner's. Kathy stands beside a covered body on a trolley.
I'm getting comfortable here. That bothers me.
You were right to be suspicious. Further analysis of the Horning autopsy reveals heightened levels of dehydrogenase.
Which means the body could have been packed in ice.
Could have been and was. I also found crystallized sodium chloride in the epidermis.
Salt.
Exactly, but at much higher levels than you would find in seawater.
So the body was packed in ice and rock salt?
Yes. There were significant contusions, naturally, from the body being pounded on the rocks. Do you want to see the photographs?
No.
There was one significant skull laceration that was definitely paramortem.
Pre-death.
So he was hit on the head before he went to the water.
Which means this is no longer a case of stock fraud. This is murder.
The coroner.
So are you guys hungry? You want to grab something?
No, we're good.
Thank you.
Okay, recheck.
They go.
So now we know. One of the four vice presidents killed Horning.
You know what? I'm not sure any one of them had the guts to kill him.
Maybe, maybe not.
I want to make sure, though.
Maybe you should go down to Horning and try to get some more info out of your girlfriend, Stella Andre. You should use her.
You actually think I'd use a girl to get information out of her?
The Horning Company headquarters. A young geeky guy pops his head into Stella's office.
Thank you so much for the welcome to the team basket.
Oh, I'm happy you're with us, Morris.
Frank strolls up.
How's the new CEO doing?
Very well.
Can't be that easy without having the vice presidents to share the load.
Honestly, it's more efficient not having middle management. I'm about to go get a breath of fresh air. Would you like to come with me?
Yeah, sure.
They walk towards a landscaped pool.
That is horrible. I can't believe you did that.
No, I'm serious. Look, I'm not kidding. When you're in Bulgaria, you better do what the Bulgarians do. Believe me, I learned that the hard way.
Oh, I haven't laughed this much since before Melville hired me.
You know, I need to look a little closer into your boss at that.
Really? Why?
Well, I'm not at liberty to say. I'd appreciate files on all your former employees, especially the corporate vice presidents. That's okay.
Tom and Francis and Daniel, have they done something wrong?
I don't know.
Oh, I see. It's all business. Very well. I'll fax the information over to you right away.
You know, I'm curious about something. Everyone that knew Horning always called him Horning, but you refer to him as Melvin. Why is that?
I've always called people by their first name. I guess I'm just kind of like that, Frank.
Kathy's driving along a highway. She turns her radio to Chill Channel 64 and rocks to the music. A black sedan's on her tail. Kathy becomes aware of its presence and looks in her rearview mirror.
Huh? What is this? Is this guy following me?
Now's not a good time.
Kathy here.
You'll never guess what the kids did.
I don't think I want to know.
They cleaned out the garage.
Wow. Well, geez, that's great, honey, but now's not a very good time.
All right. I just thought you could use a little excitement in your day.
Bye.
More excitement. Yeah, right.
She turns at a busy intersection and the black car follows.
He is following me. Oh, California drivers.
She accelerates, then holds up her BlackBerry.
Call Frank Darnell.
Calling.
It's Frank.
Hey, Frank. I'm being followed. A sedan. License plate 3AMQ585.
Okay, I'll run it.
Thanks.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything. What'd you get out of that Stella Andre?
Nothing yet.
Do I have to do everything myself?
Are you still being tailed?
Yes.
Why don't you try losing him?
Kathy's bemused.
Okay, I will.
She weaves and turns. The sedan follows. She looks around for a means to escape as she drives. Kathy spots a CarMax ahead, with a huge forecourt packed with cars.
I bet you I know how to lose him.
She turns into the forecourt and pulls up to a barrier. When it rises, Kathy drives on. The sedan has turned into the forecourt, and its male-suited driver approaches the barrier and waits for it to rise. Kathy cruises the aisles of the forecourt. The barrier rises for the sedan. A sales agent hands car keys to a couple standing by a row of cars. They get into one of the cars. They take the car for a spin, leaving a space in the row of cars.
Great. An empty space.
Kathy backs into the space.
Perfect.
Her car is now just one of a row of silver Chryslers. The sedan is cruising the aisles, searching for her. As it turns into her aisle, Kathy ducks down out of sight. The sedan drives past.
Bingo.
Leaving the CarMax, the sedan breaks to a stop. The driver, Vasquez, who wears shades, makes a call.
I lost her. Later.
At least my stuff sells for more. How much for a highly collectible ballerina doll complete with one purple point shoe?
Nick types in the info into a laptop.
Okay, here we go. Sells for about $10.
What? People pay fortunes for these things. I read about it in Forbes.
I bet a lot of people would like my space shuttle photo album. It's pretty hot right now.
Why? Has there been some sort of a nerd boom?
I don't have to help you, you know.
I'm sorry. It's just... we're not even close. Even if we auctioned off all this stuff for top dollar, we'd still be 88% short of our goal. What are we gonna do?
You think Mom would notice if one of our beds was suddenly gone?
Nick.
It's dark. A row of palm trees blow in a gentle breeze by the marina.
Jim.
Jim's boat.
What's up?
He was murdered.
What?
Horning didn't just fall overboard and drown. He was hit in the head first and thrown overboard. Get your guard gear. We gotta go.
Go where?
Horning's office. I know there's something in there.
Okay, give me a sec. I gotta change.
You know that whole cover-up with the four vice presidents putting his body on ice and salt and making it look like he died on Monday instead of Saturday? That's a crime of convenience. But drugging you and the captain? That's premeditated murder.
So you think I was drugged?
I'm sure of it.
He looks at her.
Thanks.
It's night. Kathy drives into an underground car park.
Can't believe I let you talk me into this again.
Don't worry, Frank's not gonna find out.
They park and get out of the car. Jim's changed into his Horning security uniform.
Let's try this.
They climb some steps and Jim peers into a room.
It's clear, come on.
Kathy darts into the room.
So you understand? Told him.
They won't look twice when I escort you in, but you don't want to get caught in Horning's office.
He stands guard at the door.
There's a security sweep every 2 hours.
Kathy reappears.
The spy dancer. Disguise is so much sexier in novels.
She's dressed as a cleaner.
Pull it off?
Clean one room in 2 hours with no teenagers involved? I think I can handle it.
You'll be searched on the way out, so don't take anything.
Got it.
Elevator's up there.
Carrying a bucket of cleaning products and a feather duster, Kathy hurries up a sweeping staircase, then along a polished corridor. She steps into a lift and presses a button. The lift doors close. Kathy pushes open the door to Melville Horning's large, plush office and creeps in. She closes the door behind her, sets her duster down on a table, and puts the bucket down on Horning's desk. She picks up some papers and quickly checks through them. She leafs through some other papers on the neatly ordered desk, then opens a drawer and flicks through the contents. She opens another drawer and quickly examines its contents. She reaches to the back of the drawer and pulls out a file. She rises and looks through it. Kathy drops the file into her bucket and quickly hides behind the door. Two security men step in.
All right, let's do a clean sweep.
Standing with their backs to Kathy, they examine Horning's desk. Kathy spots her feather duster on a table and grimaces. She reaches out and picks it up. Kathy creeps round the door and out into the corridor. She picks up a large brown envelope from a desk and pops the file into it. She writes an address on the envelope. Kathy drops the envelope into the post's morning delivery tray. She casually tidies as the security guards walk by her. Kathy's with Frank.
You know, it's kind of a coincidence that Shaughnessy and DeStefano have the same address.
Maybe they eloped.
Agents accompany them.
So now that we're sure that one of the four vice presidents murdered Horning, you're bringing him in, huh?
Let's see what they have to say first.
Excuse me. I'm sure they'll have a lot to say. Here it is.
They enter an office where they find DeStefano and Shaughnessy.
Nancy, I'll count me now, so we're gonna have to get all our expenses balanced.
Hello.
Interesting finding you both here together.
Mr. Darnell, Miss Stowe, there's a simple explanation.
What would that be?
We went into business together, ourselves, as marketing consultants to the cereal industry.
Francesca and I have always gotten on well, so we thought after Horning's death, we would get together, open up our own shop.
I don't think so. Custom-made sign, prime real estate, engraved lettering on your business cards, it all takes time.
His death was pretty convenient for you.
Oh yeah, you could say his bad luck was our good luck.
Persona della suerte?
A person makes his own luck? What are you implying?
I can save you a lot of time. We did it. We're guilty. We got together with the other execs. We covered up the time of the old man's death. I don't know why it's such a big deal. He was already gone.
Horning just didn't fall into the ocean. Someone knocked him out and pushed him overboard.
He was murdered.
That's right.
You can't be thinking that we had anything to do with it.
Both had motive.
We couldn't have done it.
We were together the whole time. She was never out of my sight.
Look, you've already admitted to covering up his death.
But it wasn't murder. This is a whole other thing. I wasn't...
Save it. Guys.
The agent stepped forward.
It's okay. It's okay, baby.
I need you to stand up, put your hands up against the wall.
They can alibi each other all they want. It's taint of testimony. Felony murder, everybody takes a hit.
Yeah, well, I don't think they did it. Sure, they had an economic motive, but something about this says crime of passion to me.
Let's try Vasquez.
You just want to see if he speaks Spanish so you don't lose your bet.
Vasquez was the one tailing him yesterday.
That's weird.
They get into his car.
Wonder why.
I don't know. Maybe he thinks you're cute.
On a golf course, Vasquez putts as Kathy and Frank approach.
It's the CSA. Now what do you want?
I want to clear up some details on your boss's death. What exactly was your relationship with Horning?
Honestly, I hated him. He treated us like servants. The man would have meetings while he was in the bathtub, all right? It was humiliating.
Why didn't you leave?
Did you ever read one of his employee contracts? I would have lost my health benefits, my retirement plan. I think he had an option on my firstborn child.
What if I told you he was murdered?
Seems like you have a motive.
Wait a minute, you're saying that I killed him? I'm the one who jumped in after him.
The two aren't mutually exclusive, Mr. Vasquez.
Well, they are on my planet. No good deed goes unpunished.
Buenos no tan buenos.
What was that?
I'm sorry, I just assumed you spoke Spanish.
Well, you shouldn't do that. Because I'm from Florida, and Florida's in the United States, and we speak English there. And I don't want to talk to you people anymore. You're making me angry. Not without my lawyer.
Mr. Vasquez, these gentlemen can help you with a lawyer. Take him out of here.
The agents lead him away.
Yeah, tough guy. All right. Yeah.
All right, what do you think of Vasquez?
I don't think he speaks Spanish.
She holds out her hand. Frank pays up.
Thank you, Frank.
I can see him doing it, but I don't think we're there yet.
Some of the pieces are missing. Who drugged Jim? Who spilled the beans to the filmmaker? Are they even connected? I don't know.
She answers her phone.
Hello?
You've got mail.
Yeah. Morning's personal files. I didn't get a chance to read them. Anything jump out at you, Jim?
You could say that.
Great, thanks.
What?
That's the piece we need.
Frank drives to Horning's beachfront house. A dark blue sports car is parked outside.
Kath, why do you think Maynard will be here?
I don't know. Just a hunch.
Frank parks and they get out. The outer gate is open and they step in. They climb the steps to the front door with caution. Maynard's in the living room, sitting on the floor and gazing out over the beach and sea. Several bottles of beer sit on a window ledge in front of him. He wipes his eyes on hearing the door open.
Doug Maynard? I thought we'd find you here.
Hey. Why don't you grab a beer? Join the party.
He rises and turns to face them.
We have some questions about your boss's death.
You guys, you never give up, huh?
Well, that's because we just found out he was murdered.
What? Well, what makes you think that?
His head was bashed in.
Well, you know who? You checked out that, the guy, Jim Monroe, his security guard? I never trusted that guy.
Really? Used to be one of my operatives.
You know, I'm obviously, you know, more upset and freaked out about Hornig's death than anybody. So, I don't know what else I can tell you guys.
Well, that's understandable since you're a son.
Maynard's eyes flicker.
Who told you that?
He did. He kept all the records from your foster homes, your birth certificate, your report cards. He may not have acknowledged you as his son, but he did care about you.
Yeah, he cared about me, huh? His bastard son. I don't know. I don't think you abandon a child that you care about, do you? You know, I don't think you hire him just to lie to his face for 12 years, only to fire me all over again. You know, doesn't feel like caring.
Is that why you killed him?
Maynard's jaw drops and he stares at Kathy.
Do you think I could do that?
Yeah, you almost got away with it too.
Maynard looks away.
You're under arrest for the murder of Melville Horning.
I never wanted any of this to happen, okay? I didn't want him to die. I just wanted a father, you know?
He slugs some beer. At the CSA, Frank steps out of his office and hands a document to an agent. Kathy's watching Robbie's documentary.
Hi, Ty. Are any of you in charge of shipping the rotten food overseas, third world countries?
Sure. Kathy, what are you still doing here? It's over.
Yeah, I know, but my brain itches. You know, the feeling you get in the middle of your back when you're just not going to be satisfied until you scratch it?
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah, well, some piece of this puzzle is missing, and I'm just not going to be satisfied until I find it.
Look, why don't you find it tomorrow? Your husband's going to have my head if you're not home by dinner time.
All right. You're the boss.
Yeah. Kathy hands a remote control back to him and leaves. Frank casually watches the screen and sees Stella kissing Maynard in a car park, unaware that they're being filmed. Frank freezes the image and stares at the screen. Kathy's arrived home.
Anybody home?
She sets her mobile down, checks the landline for messages and throws down her keys. Suddenly she closes her eyes and shakes her head. She grabs her keys and hurries out.
Reached the Davis residence. Please leave a message after the tone.
Kathy, it's Frank. You there? All right, listen. I know who the leak was. You need to get back to me.
Frank's driving his car. Kathy gets into her car and drives on. She's left her phone behind. Jim's on his mobile.
Woman, you've got 8 phones. Answer one of them. I remembered something. I know who drugged me.
I'll speak to him then. Yes. Okay.
Horning headquarters rooftop.
Hi. Jane, your secretary just told me that you were up here. You're taking a helicopter to LAX? I just had one question. You set up Horning's family trust, right? You must have known that Maynard was Horning's biological son.
Yes, I knew.
Did you tell him?
Melville didn't want Douglas to know about it.
Maynard found out somehow. Did you let it slip?
You know what? I'd like to stay and chat, but I really don't care to. So I'm very happy you've come up here, but I'd like the conversation to stop now.
You were seeing him, weren't you?
Don't remind me.
So it was you.
They pace about each other.
So innocent because you're the only one who didn't sell off your stock, but you were the only one smart enough to know it would come back.
Well, you're not as provincial as I thought, Jane. Please, continue.
And those gift baskets. Do you send those interesting cookies to everyone?
Of course not. Just the peons.
So you drugged the captain and Jim. And then you convinced your poor boyfriend to bash his own father in the skull and throw him overboard.
Well, you just make it sound so ugly.
I don't think you counted on those 4 vice presidents covering it up.
No, I never saw that coming.
And then, you got the most inept coroner in Los Angeles to take Horning's body. Genius.
Poor man. Jane, thank goodness he only works on dead people. Is there anything else?
Yes, yes there is. I think you started by giving your boss's dirty secrets to that filmmaker. And then you did that incredible switcheroo with the tape and the financial channel.
I'm so bad, aren't I?
It was all about money and power, wasn't it?
It usually is, Jane.
Wait, Stella!
Stella pulls a gun on Kathy.
You don't want to do this!
Oh, I don't? Melville couldn't stop me, so you certainly can't. You should have gone home when you had a chance, Jane.
Jim's nearby, listening.
How could you be sure that Maynard would kill his own father?
Because I knew them both so very well. It's just like putting a puzzle together. Do you like puzzles, Jane? This is your last one.
Kathy, get down!
As Jim pushes Kathy aside, he's shot. Frank and his agents arrive.
Frank! Call in the medevac!
No!
Oh, thank you.
Ah! Get your hands off of me!
Stella's disarmed.
Jim?
Frank and Kathy lean over Jim.
Jim? Hey, look at me.
Are you all right?
Where were you hit?
Oh, my rib. I'm all right. I wore my body armor. I've been cut worse shaving.
HQ, I got a man down, gunshot wound. I need an ambulance ASAP. Let's move, boys.
Jim smiles at Kathy.
That's three you owe me, Davis. Oh.
Jim winces. A tearful Kathy looks up at Stella, who is being restrained by an agent. Jim's back home.
There was something about this girl that I didn't trust.
Stella had this habit of calling Horning Melville. It always made me doubt her. And then the filmmaker, he was getting emails from M. LaVille, Melville. So it all pointed to her as a leak.
Plus, she's the one who sent the gift basket. That's the only thing I ate that could have been drugged.
Well, Maynard delivered the blow, and Stella sent it.
Murder by proxy. Kind of like teasing a dog for weeks and then getting somebody to break into your house.
Here she comes. Jim?
Hey, Maggie.
Are you okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine, baby.
They kiss.
I am sorry I didn't believe you.
Oh, it's all right. When you get escorted to the ER by the CSA, they patch you up pretty quick.
We never would have caught her if he wasn't so stubborn.
I'd like to think of it as persistent.
Did you just contradict a superior officer?
Did you just say what I thought you just said?
I told you I put in a good word for you.
Kathy smiles. Maggie laughs.
Welcome back.
Frank and Jim shake hands.
Oh, man.
Oh,
easy, thank you.
Maggie hugs Jim.
Welcome home, softy.
Frank smiles. Kathy arrives home. Susan and Nick are in the kitchen.
Hey.
Jack joins them.
Sorry I'm late. I had a really hard day. Look, I need to talk to you guys about the garage. Do you two have anything to tell us, or are you planning on selling your parents on eBay too?
Don't blame Nick. I made him do it. I took money out of my savings account to buy real stock instead of fantasy stock, and my portfolio crashed, and Nick and I thought of everything we could possibly sell to make up the difference, but it wasn't enough, and you guys are going to find out as soon as your bank statement comes, so I might as well tell you.
Does she mean the bank statements we get online? The ones you check every day to guard against identity theft?
I think so.
You knew? Mom! Why didn't you say anything?
Because we wanted to see what you two would do, and it was a pretty smart solution, by the way.
Not that good of a solution. All we got was $120 and blisters.
But we got a nice, clean, spacious garage.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, I don't know if you checked, but Horning's stock went way up.
Yes!
And, of course, you're grounded.
Yay.
Susan checks the Financial Times.
Oh, my God, it did.
Outside.
Hey, you. Someone owes me the answer to a riddle.
At night, they come without being fetched. By day, they are lost without being stolen. And the answer is...
Uh-huh.
The stars.
Oh.
Just like the ones in your eyes.
Kathy looks smitten.
I knew I couldn't trip you up.
They embrace and kiss on the drive in front of their very tidy and organized garage. A full moon shines out in a starry sky above them. ITFC audio description by Aileen Downey.